Welcome to Hour 2 of Sports Saturday on KLBJ with hosts Ed and Ben Clements. They're taking calls at 512-836-0590 or toll-free at 877-590-KLBJ.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Ed Clements, and welcome to the End Zone Club on KLBJ, part of Sports Saturday. Our show proudly brought to you by Covert and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, R Bank, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. A busy sports day for UT Sports in Austin and Central Texas. Ben Clements is here. Ben, good afternoon. First of all, the Longhorns lost today to the West Virginia Mountaineers in a very, very difficult game for Texas. This was a bad loss. No way, shape, or form to make this into a positive situation as the Longhorns fall in the Irwin Center by West Virginia, 84-82.
Deep breaths.
Are we taking the panic button, opening up that lever, and we hammering it right now if we're Texas Longhorn fans? Are we saying this is the norm? Let it be. They're going to lose a few games. I'm pressing the panic button for Texas. What is going on? I know Texas has had a few off weeks due to the COVIDs and Mother Nature, but in a week that Shaka Smart has been named to the finalist of the Coach of the Year award, what?
I know.
Are they losing this game at home? I know Texas is a good team, West Virginia, number 13 in the land. Texas is one seat ahead of them. You got to win these games. Shaka Smart, and you're letting it slip through your fingers. You have two lottery picks. You have two point guards that are elite in this country. And you have a center who is one of the most experienced in the Big 12. This is not a game you should lose. It's disappointing. Texas falls 84-82 at home against inferior team in West Virginia.
Yeah, I think they're about the same.
Yeah, Huggy Bear is a good coach, but Shaka, you get paid the big bucks to be the better coach.
I think they're very similar. Remember Texas won in Morgantown by a last-second shot by Andrew Jones. But what is glaring to me today, Ben, Texas had a 19-point lead during the second half.
Yeah.
And they were outscored 41-29 in the second half by West Virginia.
Yeah, so I'm looking right now at the box score, and I think the most glaring thing to me is Greg Brown, your future top 10 draft pick in the 2021 NBA draft, had how many points, Pop?
He had no points.
Zero.
He had no points,
he
which is shocking.
Had zero
to me.
Points. He went 0-for-4 from 3-point land and 0-for-4 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 0 points. Maybe that's on him. Maybe that's on coaching. You got to get him the ball. And he had a big old whopping 0 points. Your lead scorer was Courtney Ramey, your point guard, who he did his job. The rest of the team, though, they struggled.
Yeah,
and nobody really put up the effort they needed to win this game. And I put a little bit of the credit on Shaka Smart for not getting his players ready to go. Yeah, you've had a really long week. We all have in Texas due to this snowstorm, but you also had that much time to prepare and to practice.
Yeah.
You know, these guys live on campus.
Sure.
It's not like they can't get to the gym and put up shots and game plan. But when it comes to the game, I'll say it. It's a game. It's like you and I playing Scrabble. When it comes to game time, you gotta make the product here. And you don't get credit for practicing well.
You get credit for
winning the game and playing the game how it's supposed to be played. And Shaka and the team are not really providing the essential product you need right now to go on and have a first seed in the tournament.
Well, right now, with this loss, Texas falls to 13-6 on the year and 7-5 in Big 12 play. Don't look now. This was a team that was head-to-head with Baylor for the top spot, and they're hovering at number two.
They were a top-five team 2 weeks ago.
And now they're in fourth place in the Big 12. If this continues, they're going to be the seeds going lower and lower. Yeah. Right now, I see they're either a fourth or fifth seed.
Wow.
But today, also, Kansas defeated Texas Tech in Lawrence, 67-61, and the Longhorns host Kansas on Tuesday.
Yep.
Texas has to right this ship really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You got to get Greg Brown involved in this thing, because that is patently inexcusable to have a guy who, you're exactly right, man, is going to be a lottery pick, not to have any points today, not to get involved. But one thing that bothered me more, the two things bothered me today, blowing a 19-point lead and then the blow-up during a timeout between Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey. Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones started mouthing each other as a timeout came about, and they had to be separated. They had to be separated.
Yeah.
This is the most embarrassing thing for UT Sports and for Shaka Smart. I know they're intense competitors, but, Ben, they're both upperclassmen. They should know better. They should be more mature than going after each other during a timeout.
Mature. You sound like one of those old golfers saying amateur instead of immature. They got to be more mature.
Got to be mature.
You know, it's interesting, actually, you say that because I remember earlier in the season, Matt Coleman was asked about the camaraderie in the team, and he said how strong it was this year, much more so than the past two seasons, and how this is what struck me. He said it took a little while for the three guards to come together as a unit. And how they did butt heads. Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's very natural. You got three alpha males, three guards who want to be the guy.
Right.
It makes sense that they're going to butt heads. But for all intents and purposes, that was all behind them, according to Matt Coleman, the captain, the leader, and the star of the team. It sounded like, you know, that was all in the past. These egos get in the way. But clearly, there's something still there, and that was very... It was disappointing to watch that they were that they really let it get to them. These guys, I think in college basketball, there's a difference between NBA and college. In NBA, you can have a bunch of hotheads. You've got a bunch of alpha males that grew up and went to college being the guy. And you can play in an NBA team hating your teammates, but you can still make it to the NBA championship. In college basketball, look at teams like, not this year, but look at teams like Duke and Kentucky. You got to have a unit. You got to have the camaraderie of it's brotherhood. And if you have, you know, a bunch of guys that are selfish and that want to be the star, you're not going to make it that far. And so in college, you got to have a family of a team, as cliche as that sounds. And today was picture perfect knowledge of that. You had guys that were arguing and fighting, and they didn't come together, and they couldn't work it out at the end of the game.
And when they did that, as Fran Fraschilla, former guest on this show, said, the air went out of the balloon.
Yeah.
Because they looked confused. They looked disoriented. They weren't playing as a team after the argument on the sideline between Courtney and Andrew, which is ugly. You don't want to see anything like that at all. Okay. Elsewhere in the Big 12 today in basketball, we told you about Kansas defeating Tech 67-61. Don't look now, but Kansas comes to town on Tuesday to face the Longhorns. It was Oklahoma now leading Iowa State 41-29 in the second half at Ames, Iowa. And you're not going to believe this, or Kansas State's defeated TCU 62-54. Those are two bottom feeders in the Big 12 basketball, but that was it's a big win for Kansas State. But again, the Longhorns fall to West Virginia 84-82. They blew a 19-point lead in this game and were outscored by 12 points in the second half, falling to Huggy Bear in West Virginia. Our phone lines are always open at 512-836-0590. 512-836-0590 here on the End Zone Club. Ben, I want to ask you this question. I've been on the record, and I still believe this. I don't think they ought to play the Big 12 basketball tournament. I think they should take care with the COVID and not risk the health of these basketball players and the possibility of missing the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't really ever talked about this, you know, off air between you and I. I don't have my mind made up yet. I guess, you know, we saw this week news from the NCAA. They are going to allow fans at the big tournament this year at March Madness. I don't know. Like,
to me,
why? What's? Yeah, you don't want to risk COVID.
Yeah,
but is there that much more of a risk? I don't know. It's, if anything, it's selfishly like, you know, I don't want Texas to be exposed anymore. You don't want to see some of these teams that have a lot to lose. But at the same time, though, if Texas keeps, I'm going to say the word, if they keep nosediving, to hell with it. Let them have a Big 12 tournament. Maybe they can get a little credit in the Big 12 tournament, and they can go win it and get a better seed. As a Texas fan, I'm very indifferent right now. As a non-biased college basketball reporter, I think they should have the tournament. Why not have the tournament? If they can make it happen, make it happen.
I say don't have the tournament because the worst-case scenario would be, and we know Baylor's in the midst of having a COVID problem. We know they had played.
The country's having a COVID problem.
My point is Baylor has postponed their last three games.
Yeah.
And I just don't see any reason. I think you know who the great teams are, and I would not think a Kansas State or a TCU would win the Big 12 tournament. I'm just looking at safety's sake.
Yeah.
By the way, Texas only has two more regular season games.
Yeah.
Number 23, Kansas, that's Tuesday night here in Austin. And then they play at Texas Tech.
So the Oklahoma game scratched, completely scratched.
It apparently is completely scratched.
And the second Baylor game, too.
See, that's one thing I think they could possibly do.
Because those are two games that could really uplift Texas.
It could. And this is what my plan would be. Instead of playing the Mickey Mouse Big 12 tournament, where it's just a sponsorship money opportunity for the Big 12, let them play the games that they have not played.
Yep.
Let Texas and Oklahoma play. Let Texas and Baylor play. So, but I just think the conference commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, does not want to not have a conference tournament because
does not want to not have.
Well, he
does not want to not have two. Yeah. Negatives equals a positive. He wants to have it.
He wants to have it. He wants to have it because of money. He wants to have it because of money. Okay, we need to take a break. After this break, we're going to shift to football, the big week in football. We're going to talk about Carson Wentz.
Our season NFL is underway, and I love it.
Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, and a whole
cast. J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt and a whole cast of characters. This is the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio. Proudly brought to you by Covert and Bastrop. They were closed today, but they'll be open tomorrow. Supreme Lending. Talk to John about a home loan refinance. Our Bank. We're going to have Reed Ryan on later to talk about baseball. Maybe he'll talk about Our Bank, too. Tito's Handmade Vodka. And by Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is the End Zone Club brought to you by Covert and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, Our Bank, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Sue Patrick. We've been talking the news out of college basketball, and we've been talking some football here on News Radio KLBJ. And I think we should switch over to the NFL because it's my favorite time of the year, which is NFL offseason, where you get rumors, you got trades, you got signees, you have a lot of back and forth, and the biggest one this week is Carson Wentz is finally leaving Philadelphia. It was a matter of time, and he's going to the Indianapolis Colts. I think it was a brilliant move. I thought he should have gone to the Patriots with Bill Belichick, but that was just me. But I think him in Indianapolis is going to be a match made in heaven, except now I think Andrew Luck might be thinking, ooh, maybe I should come back.
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
What if Andrew Luck said, screw it, I'm going to come back. You know what, I'm just going to make Carson Wentz's life a living hell. I'm going to come back. Why not? They'll take me with open arms.
I think it's a great move by the Indianapolis Colts because Carson Wentz is going to be reunited with Frank Reich.
He's a great player.
His coach earlier. And Carson Wentz, Frank Reich was the coordinator when Carson Wentz's first year at Philadelphia, when he was so good. I think it's great for the Colts.
And it's funny because you know that Jalen Hurts probably popped a bottle of champagne when he found the news, but then an hour later he thought, oh gosh, my Eagles have the sixth pick in the NFL draft. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are on that list that could go fill up any position. Watch the Eagles really pull the total cuck move of the century and pick a quarterback and to replace Jalen Hurts. It'll be funny, but I'm excited to see Jalen Hurts hopefully get the solidified start for Philadelphia next year.
Is he the answer, though?
I have no idea. That's why I think that, honestly, they're going to go out and get a quarterback during this draft just to piss him off.
Just maybe what happened to the Packers last year, but the Packers said, well, it's not relatable with the Packers. But the strikes
won off the list, though.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, he's off the list. He found a forever home. He got taken from the Eagles, from the pawn shop that is Philadelphia, and now still on the list, we got Deshaun Watson, who is looking for his forever home, Cam Newton looking for his forever home, Mitch Trubisky looking for a forever home. there's still four or five quarterbacks that need a spot to land, and who's the next up? I think it's got to be Deshaun Watson, but...
But what do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah, Houston has said they're not going to trade him. Deshaun Watson says he won't play for the franchise team.
How mad was he when he saw that?
Yeah, and he's mad now because they released J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And if they say, oh, we release you, J.J., why not release Cam? We know the answer because Deshaun Watson is one of the greatest quarterbacks out there in NFL. They're in trouble at Houston because I think he'll sit, Ben. I think he'll sit.
The last, image we have of Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt in Houston this past year was when they were walking off the field to the locker room, and as if J.J. Watt didn't know the cameras were on him, he put his arm around Deshaun and was thinking, and he said to him, hey, man, I'm sorry. We wasted a year for you. We'll get it back next season. As if he didn't know the cameras were on him. It's like when a woman or a man cheats on their spouse and their best friend and puts his arm around the cheatee and says, hey, I'm sorry, man. We wasted a year for you. We'll get it back next year. What was the point of that, Jay? How mad is Deshaun Watson right now?
Oh, he's mad.
You see J.J. Watt getting his, not even traded. He gets his release, gets his freedom. It's like in Aladdin when the genie's finally free, and Deshaun Watson's there thinking, what am I going to do? My defense just left me now.
Exactly.
I have nobody. You don't have any receivers. You have an old man and David Johnson as your running back. If he doesn't end up anywhere next season on a different team, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to sit out the season and waste another year of his prime.
Yeah.
So he's next on the list.
What about Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott, no, he's not going to go anywhere.
Will Dak Prescott get franchised, though, or will they give him the long term? I think he's going to be franchised by Jerry and Stephen Jones.
So far, here's what we got. We got Carson Wentz is now a Colt. We have Matthew Stafford is now a Ram.
Which I think is great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is now a Lion.
Oh, boy.
So that's three quarterbacks have now switched gears, that's right there itself. Any offseason would be, oh, my gosh, we got a new facelift in the NFL. But I think we're yet to see the end of it. We'll have probably three or four more quarterbacks move.
What about this scenario? I keep hearing that Carolina wants to move away from Teddy Bridgewater and they're interested in Deshaun Watson. Well, let me this compare if the trade package includes Christian McCaffrey
going to the Houston Texans. Yeah. I did see this. I don't want that for Christian McCaffrey. If you do that though, then the DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson trade was the most useless
Dumb
trade in the history of American sports. If they do that, they just solidify their stupidity in football. They can't do that for the look, for the shame. Knowing the Houston Texans, they might do it because I don't think they really care at this point. The Texans have to do something drastic. I don't know. Maybe that's the move, but I think the most drastic thing they can do is keep Deshaun Watson.
How do they do that?
And trade their entire defense for somebody big.
Let's shift to Longhorn football. The news broke today, USA Today. University of Texas Board of Regents is set to approve Steve Sarkisian's six-year guaranteed contract worth about $34.2 million, a deal that's longer and more lucrative than it was for Chuck Strong and Tom Herman. Longhorns also will have two coordinators and a special teams coordinator making at least $1 million annually. Steve's deal is $5.2 million for the 2021 season and escalates $2,000 each year, topping out at $6.2 million in 2026. Ladies and gentlemen, let us just say, if you don't think it's professional college football, it is, and there is a desire to win with some deep pockets in the state of Texas.
Well, you know, now that college athletes can benefit off their name, they got to get the ball rolling with their head coach and make sure he has quite a bit of a head start on these guys, or else they're going to catch him pretty soon. Wow.
It's
5.2 a year, right?
Starting out at 5.2 ends up at 6.2 million.
What does the highest paid professor at UT make? Because I can guarantee you he molds the minds of those students more than Sarkisian will mold the brains of those athletes.
Well, the problem I have with this, and by the way, before you go crazy, this is not taxpayer money. This is money from football tickets and basketball tickets and donations. But what is
It is what it is.
It is what it is, but what is crazy to me, it's a 6-year guaranteed contract.
Okay, stop there. Six. Okay, let's talk about 6 years. Okay, so the past two coaches, Charlie Strong, Tom Herman, have made it no more than 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Six? You want to give them six?
Yeah, I know.
Why do you not start at that base 4 years? Because we don't know what's going to happen
right,
in the next.
Right.
Well, for all we know, I'm going to give Sarkisian the benefit of the doubt, and I have faith in the guy.
I do too.
All gas, no brakes. I think he's going to do wonders at Texas, but that's a long contract. A lot can happen in 6 years. The past 4 years, we've had a pandemic. We've had a last 12 months, we've had a pandemic, a snowstorm. Kobe Bryant is dead. What, 6 years, a lot can happen. That's a lot of new classes at Texas.
It is, Ben, and it borderlines to me on ridiculous that they're paying. And I like Sark, and I think he's going to do well.
Yeah.
But my Lord in heaven, this long guaranteed contract.
It's a long contract.
And for three coordinators to make over $1 million each, and their contracts are 3 years guaranteed, it's unbelievable. And I like Chris Del Conte, but these athletic directors just lose their minds. They lose their minds on these guaranteed contracts when you really don't have to do that, because where is Steve Sarkisian going? He's not going anywhere.
On the flip side,
because
though,
for the Texas
exactly.
Longhorns.
Exactly. I think that shows that the Board of Regents and Kevin Eltife and Chris Del Conte probably have a hell of a lot of faith in this guy, or otherwise – I don't know. I say otherwise they wouldn't give him this long contract. Maybe they're doing it to, you know, show him they want him here. I don't know. At this point, maybe it's desperation.
Well,
I think a lot of it is they have a lot of faith, and they want to show the fans and the community that this is the guy for the next 6 years, and they guarantee it.
And I think you're not on target, because I think this is what Kevin Eltife and the Regents are saying. We want to be back in the game, because Texas football has been an afterthought for years and years and years since Mack Brown left. Okay, we got to take a break.
They don't want to keep doing this Ferris wheel of coaches. This
exactly.
is the guy for the foreseeable future.
We hope. We hope. We've got confidence. Okay, when we come back, a visit with Reed Ryan of the Round Rock Express, talking baseball and much, much more. I want to talk about that big Fernando Tatis contract, too. But we're going to take a break for the news. After that, more of your phone calls and Reed Ryan on the End Zone Club here on KLBJ. Welcome back to the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. I'm sorry, the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio. I'm watching golf right now. I got football on my mind. I got basketball on my mind. I got golf. This is the End Zone Club, proudly brought to you by Covert and Bastrop, Supreme Lending, our bank, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. Ben, we've been talking about football and basketball. Hopefully we'll hook up with Reed Ryan in a moment. But to get you up to date on Longhorn basketball, they fall today 84-82 to West Virginia in a key Big 12 basketball game. And this game was at the Irwin Center. Longhorns blew a 19-point lead.
Pop, I asked a real quick one. We have some breaking news out of the NBA. Houston fans... Doesn't get much better for you. You are now parting ways. The Houston Rockets are parting ways with DeMarcus Cousins out of his 10th year in the NBA. He's formerly with the Sacramento Kings, New Orleans Pelicans, Golden State Warriors, and he spent all of 4 months with the Houston Rockets, and they have agreed to let him go, parted ways, and he is free to sign with any team in the NBA. This is a four-time NBA All-Star, a two-time All-NBA first-team player, a Rookie of the Year. And I don't know what the Rockets are doing here. This is an Olympian player right here, one of the best centers in the NBA. Yeah, he's 30 years old, a product of Kentucky. I don't know if this was a in-house disagreement they had going on, but he is a great player, and now he's free to sign with any team in the NBA. And it just not gets better for the Houston Rockets. First, they had James Harden getting fat, eating his way out of Houston, and now they have DeMarcus Cousins getting his freedom out of Houston, and it's not turning the tide there for the Rockets organization.
I tell you, it's not for Houston sports, Ben. This is another blow to Houston sports. The Rockets are currently 11-17 on the year in the NBA, out of that top eight position for the Western Conference. This, on top of the news about J.J. Watt, the uncertainty about Deshaun Watson, this is not good. for Houston sports fans.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for Houston and DeMarcus Cousins. No doubt in my mind he'll be picked up here within the next 48 hours. He is still an unbelievable talent. He is all of 7'1", former gold medalist for the Olympian team, a former first-round draft pick out of Kentucky. And Rockets fans, it's not a lot to look up to right now.
And news broke this afternoon that Kevin Durant's going to miss his fourth consecutive game tomorrow, sitting out against the Clippers as he continues to get treatment on his strained left hamstring.
That being said, though, oh my gosh, the Nets. Brooklyn is a team to reckon with. They defeated the Lakers two nights ago in Los Angeles, a game that one of us might have won some money on. the Nets, the real deal with Kyrie Irving and James Harden and DeAndre Jordan, that is a team that can play offense and can back it up on the defensive side. I have no doubt in my mind that we will see the Lakers and the Nets duke it out at some point in the playoffs. That's a hell of a team, and they're not peaking yet, but they're making this happen without Kevin Durant, arguably the best player in the NBA. I wish we had been in Vegas 2 months ago to put a future on the Nets to win the NBA championship, because in my mind, not only are they the dark horse, because you always got to put the Lakers as the favorite. No matter what, now, you have to have the Lakers and LeBron as the favorite. But the Nets, they should, and I think they will, be in the championship this season.
Well, they're in second place behind Philadelphia. Philadelphia leads the way at 20-10 in the East. Brooklyn is 19-12. Milwaukee is 17-13. I really liked the Greek Freak last year, Giannis. But
they've lost five in a row.
I know.
Have you been watching that?
I've not been watching that closely.
One of us might have lost money on them a couple nights ago. They've lost five in a row. They look like a middle school team right now.
Really?
Well, terrible. Giannis, and they look lost out there. And that is why, again, I go back to the fact that the Nets, to represent the West or to represent the East, they are the favorite. And I don't think anybody has an answer to right now the Nets.
What amazes me is in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz continue to roll, Ben. They're 24-6.
Yeah.
The Lakers are 22-8. The Clippers are 22-9.
Yeah.
So, and surprisingly, the Spurs are 16-11.
Yeah, they're doing well.
They're playing well, and the Dallas Mavericks, a team that I really like, got a losing record. They're 13-16, but Utah has been surprising to me as they play so well, and they made noise in the bubble last year. And I think this is going to be very exciting because you got the great teams in the West, but then again, this Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Boston matchup in the East is going to be exciting down the stretch.
No, yeah, I think if we're talking as a whole, the NBA right now is in one of the best places it's been in a long time. There's probably five or six teams that have a legitimate shot to win the title. Whereas, you know, the past few years, I feel like we've seen it's been maybe not last year, but basically from 2013. Not even. I think really it's like from 2011 till 2019. At any given time, there are two teams that can win the title. LeBron's team and the Warriors.
Yeah.
And now we've finally seen a switch where those teams, they haven't gotten old because they're not, you know, they're still those guys, Steph and all them, or they're still in their, you know, early 30s. But we now have a handful of teams that really could contend. Look at last season with the Heat. Nobody thought the Heat were going to be in the finals, but they found their way facing LeBron. This year is another example of that when we have between the Nets, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks. You can even put probably the Jazz in there. There's plenty of teams that can contend for the title and have a legitimate shot to make it all the way and put their name and stamp their name on that trophy. And then I think this is the best place the NBA has been in a long time.
I would love to see the Brooklyn Nets versus LeBron and the L.A. Lakers for the NBA championship. Uh-huh. I'm saying that I want the Spurs to do well. I want the Spurs to do well. I want the Mavs to do well. But
it's kind of like how the NFL just went, you know, with the Chiefs and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're Adam Silver. Oh, my God. For some reason, my mind thought I said David Stern, and I was thinking, oh, God.
Rest his soul.
He's dead. If you're Adam Silver, oh, my gosh, that's the greatest case scenario.
Oh, yeah.
If you get Kevin Durant versus LeBron James, the Nets versus L.A., you got New York versus L.A., it'd be perfect. I think that'd be the most exciting for this country right now if we get the Nets versus Lakers. And I mean, there's so many storylines.
obviously the one is going to be LeBron KD.
Yeah.
Second one is going to be LA versus New York. Third one is going to be Kyrie versus LeBron.
Yeah.
I think that if all goes according to plan here, we should be seeing that this summer. And the way the Nets are playing right now, they're kind of getting, like I talked about earlier, with the team camaraderie and how college you need it, NBA not so much. But I think that we see, as we saw a couple nights ago, the Nets bench is really buying in. You saw Kevin Durant. He has not been playing. He's been hurt.
Right.
But he was standing up as close to – he was basically where the coaches usually stand, you know, the entire game, yelling and screaming.
Steve Nash was.
KD was standing with Steve Nash basically the entire time and giving out instruction and cheering for his teammates. And I think the Nets right now are a team that are buying in really, really quickly.
You never knew the greatness of Steve Nash,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did
Dad.
You?
I remember him with the Mavericks. I'm not that young. I'm 26. I remember the movie Like Mike with Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. Most fond memories of him with the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
With Shaq. I remember Steve Nash. I don't know why, but when I think of Steve Nash, I think of him like him juggling the ball like a soccer player. But I remember Steve Nash. The guy had game.
He did.
One of the most talented point guards who ever lived.
He was great. Okay, we got to take a break. Phone lines are always open on the End Zone Club, 512-836-0590. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. More calls and comments. Again, we can talk about anything. Longhorn football, Longhorn basketball, the NBA. Also, we'll give a double check on the PGA tournament that's still going on. Don't look now, but the guys on top of the leaderboard are falling down. And here comes Patrick Cantlay, and here comes Jordan Spieth. That and much, much more when we return to the End Zone Club here on KLBJ.
End Zone Club continues here on News Radio KLBJ, brought to you by our great friends over at Covert and Bastrop. Mm-hmm. Supreme Lending. Don't do that.
You don't like when I do
don't
that?
Don't do that.
I'm just
Supreme
reaffirming
Lending.
Our sponsor.
Our bank. Tito's Handmade Vodka. Okay, you can make a comment on that.
Okay.
And Sue Patrick over at 5222 Burnett Road, our great friends, the best place to find Texas gear and all of Austin. We've been talking a lot of we're talking some college football, a lot of pro football, some college basketball, and the news out of the NBA. What?
We haven't talked about Longhorn baseball yet.
And exactly. Today marked the start of college baseball season. My favorite season, honestly. We're big Texas football fans. We're big college football fans. But college baseball holds a very soft spot in our hearts. Texas played today against Mississippi State. I don't know why, but it wasn't A on TV. You had to stream
it on some weird.
You had to stream it on some weird service. Do we even know how the game ended?
Yeah, it did. Mississippi State defeated the Longhorns by a score of 8-3.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, the Longhorns.
This is a really good tournament for Texas. They're playing in Houston, correct?
Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
They're playing at the new Ranger Stadium, Globe.
I mean,
Life
in this
Field.
Tournament, Mississippi State, number 7 in the country, number 8, Arkansas in this tournament, number 6, Ole Miss, our beloved Texas Longhorns, who I think are number 13 in the country right now.
Near that, yeah. Yeah.
It's a great tournament for Texas to play, and a lot of people didn't think that they were going to be able to make the trip to Dallas to play this tournament, but Texas baseball and college baseball as a whole is underway. If you remember last season, the season was cut short, and Texas was a rocking and a rolling.
Yeah, it was a good
going
team.
Through the season. They had a lot of freshmen, but luckily all their scholarships were frozen, and so any freshman last year remains a freshman this season, so they have one more year of eligibility. I think David Pierce and the coaching staff, along with Houston Street and others at Texas right now, they have something cooking up there at Dish Falk Field. Last season, again, they had 4 true freshmen starting, 2 in the infield, 2 in the outfield. And this is a team that had so much potential, and I thought it was obviously cut way too short.
It was, yeah.
And this is a season where Texas baseball could really find themselves not only back in the College World Series, but I think they could find themselves in the finals if their pitching staff can make do with what they have.
They open the home schedule on Wednesday against BYU. It is a 4-game homestand against BYU. And again, limited fans are going to be there. I believe it's just season ticket holders, Ben, will be allowed. And hopefully as the year goes on, we will be able to see more fans at UFCU Dish Falk Field, because it's a great place to go. Earlier today, the men's basketball team fell to West Virginia 84-82. We've been following that, and it was a no ways around it. It was a terrible loss for Texas because they blew a 19-point lead. They had this game well in hand, and it was mired by an ugly situation on the sidelines. Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones got in a shouting match during a timeout, and they had to be separated by assistant coaches and teammates. That's the last thing in the world Shaka Smart needs as this Longhorn basketball team is slumping towards the end of the season.
Glad you said his name, because, look, we don't want to, you know, we got to be critical. We don't want to shame anybody here, but we got to be critical. And, again, all this is on Shaka Smart. You know, it's, A, you got to keep your team under control. You got to keep them calm, cool, and collected in the crunch time of games. B, you, no matter what the obstacles, whatever gets in the way, you got to keep your players ready to play these games. I know that it's a tough season, but this is when the most resilient teams can make it. And I think if you're Shaka Smart at the University of Texas, you can't let a week of snowstorms get in the way of the ultimate goal is to win every single game you play. And especially, not that he, I'm not going to say he deserves it, but like, not that he cares, but a week that he is named to the Coach of the Year list. You lose this game, which
at
is
home,
a winnable
at
game
home.
At home. You should, you're the better ranked team. You have the better team in general, and dumb mistakes. You had the lead. You had a 19-point lead in the second half, and you let it slip away. That is not Coach of the Year material right there.
It's not. You let the 19-point lead slip away. Two of your veteran teammates are in a shouting match on national damn TV, which is embarrassing, and your lottery pick, Greg Brown, scores no points. That cannot happen. And the sad thing has been, 3 or 4 weeks ago, this Longhorn team was going to be a second seed in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament, and they're falling down the oak proverbial pike. They're believed to be a 4 seed. I think they'll probably be a 5 seed. And that's when it gets in a danger area, because Texas will be in the tournament. Yeah. It's dangerous for Shaka Smart, because Shaka's not won a tournament basketball game while at the University of Texas.
He hasn't?
He has not.
Dear Lord.
He's won the NIT, but that's the minor league.
Better than a tournament, Pop. That's like 4 games in a row.
but my point is,
people forget that Texas is back-to-back champions in the NIT. People forget that.
That'll get you a cup of coffee, too. But my point is,
he's not that far away from here. Maybe we can walk over there and do a show from his front yard next week.
Yeah. But my point is, they got 2 regular season games, then more than likely the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
Kansas on Tuesday, then at Texas Tech.
So we don't.
They're both winnable and they're both losable.
We don't know if they're going to reschedule or remake the Baylor game and Oklahoma game.
We don't know.
Dang.
Texas needs those games.
That would be huge.
They do. Sex points
right there.
They do, but they don't, because they're both on the road.
Texas, if they were to go out and beat Baylor next week in a redo game, bounce back. If they can go out and beat Oklahoma next week, bounce back. Both those games are, Baylor is number 2 in the country. OU is number 9 in the country. Yeah. Now, Texas needs those games for style points, for credibility points, for anything you can imagine. It's a shame that both those games were canceled
exactly. This
late in the season, because it's all about when you lose.
By the way, Oklahoma is easing past Iowa State, closer than people think.
Number 9.
63-56.
Texas and Shaka, and really, I guess at this point, Del Conte need to make a big push to get these games replayed, because Texas needs these games, because I have all faith in Shaka Smart and that team. They can win these games. Remember, Texas lost to OU because they did not have a coach, and they didn't have 3 of their starters in that matchup. Texas needs these games to help out with their overall ranking and their potential playoff ranking.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if it's a good thing, Ben, if you have them go play in Waco and then go play in Norman. Difficult places to play.
But at this point, Texas, these players are mad. They have a lot to prove, and I think Shaka Smart knows that it is do or die time. And if Texas will win one of those 2 games, if you lose to Baylor, so be it. You probably should lose to Baylor. But Oklahoma, you can go to Norman and make a lot of heads turn with that win.
Yeah, but the Scrag Ground situation today, I don't know.
He'll bounce back.
He will bounce back, but he was 0 for 4, I believe, from the field, and 0 for 3 for three-point line. But it was just a difficult day that really the ugly scene on the sidelines took the air out of the ball and took the air out of the room for the Texas Longhorns, for the Texas Longhorns this deal. And they've got to do better. They've got to get this thing going on again, because this team was phenomenal in December and most of January. They were a phenomenal team, but now their phenomenalist is nowhere in the building.
We'll give Chuck a little leeway. It's been a weird season, and I think made even weirder with the snowstorm, because he's been now 9 games without playing a regular season game. I think Texas will bounce back. This was a tough challenge to be met after a week without playing. I think they can come back against Kansas and win that game, and they'll be at this point. Texas, just get to the tournament. I think you're right. Hopefully, we do not see a Big 12 tournament. Just get to the big dance
and stay healthy.
In the words of Jim Valvano, just survive in advance from there on out.
Okay, the PGA golf tournament, Ben, they're about to conclude in Los Angeles, and Sam Burns has a 5-stroke lead over a whole host of golfers, including Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is minus one for the day.
Max Homa.
I don't think they're going to get all 18 holes in, but I believe it's going to be great tomorrow. And you like Max Homa. I like
it's gonna
Dustin.
Great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Spoken like a true golfer. It's going to be great. No matter what, it's going to be great. We got golf.
You like Max Homa.
Max Homa.
I want Jordan Spieth to win, but I think it's going to be Dustin Johnson going to win this game.
When's Jordan going to win again?
I hope tomorrow.
Is this good for the Masters, by the way? He's been in contention 3 weeks in a row. Are we finally going to see Jordan win a tournament?
I hope so.
A big tournament?
We got to go. We're going to reschedule Reed Ryan for next week to talk baseball. Thanks for being with us on KOBJ Radio. For Ben, I'm Ed. See you next week here on the End Zone Club on KLBJ. So long, everybody.